So 1:30 to 3 o'clock, supposedly formal meditation, then 1 hour of formal meditation, half an hour of bowing, walking, and daily mindfulness training, to contemplation, reflection, and inquiry within the vicinity of the temple area while moving around in the walking, standing, or sitting posture. Always be natural and maintain relaxation of form and mind and awareness at all times. So the key word is be natural. Then maintain the ability to relax. So always be sensitive, aware. Whichever not relax, relax it. Actually, when you understand, relaxation is very easy. Relaxation is like you're very exhausted. You completely like just let it be as if you are a dead person. And that is relaxed, really. Then the most deep relaxation is when the body just respond with a very nice what they call it's not a snoring, it's like you're very tired like that. So all this, as you go into it, you develop more understanding. That fully relax actually is not so easy on. If your mind is not sensitive to detect, you cannot relax deep into it. To relax deep into it, your mind also must settle down. And when you really settle down, this mind that is settled down can allow your body to go into deeper relaxation and rest. So you must try to understand. Because when your mind is already settled down, the sankhara less and less and less, then that relaxation is different. No? It's like from the body that is very relaxed. It just release our title, like that. I don't know whether you're here or not. How many of you here? When I was meditating, are you here? Oh, one sound. Oh, that is deep relaxation. And because we have awareness, we are aware. After that, it stop. Then you relax again. Relax. Then it happen again. It can still go very deep. So when you know to relax, your consciousness become different. Where there is no resistance inside in the center. No tension, no tightness, nothing. And the body just like the nature inside there move by itself, like the trust is inside there. So the awareness like run all over your body. Then sometimes certain part it will like get awareness there and the gas come out. But this gas is not from the intestine that come out. This gas is it is from the places where it's supposed to activate then the what they call byproduct. The byproduct of that pure energy's movement, the awareness movement, releases the gas. So you have to do it to understand. Okay, what we will do is just after lunch, then most of you may not be in a good condition to meditate, where you may feel sleepy or what. Why not we do some sharing? Then after that, maybe 1 hour later. 2:30, I will let you meditate. Okay. We are at page 238. Okay. So this one, maybe I will do the sharing so that you all can understand better. I know how to emphasize all these things. Yes, if you get Manyuan to read, then she may just read the words. Okay, I will do it. Page 238, Appendix 4. 31 Plane of Existence. So under our Buddhist cosmology, the Buddha actually, in his teaching, shared this. He said living beings, or human beings and other living beings, they actually take birth or take rebirth within this 31 plane of existence, depending on your last thought moment and your mind state and your understanding. So the 31 plane of existence is the complete classification of the Buddhist cosmology. Generally, the Buddha say the highest realm or plane of existence are the formless realm. That's why the first category of four formless realm, they call it the immaterial or formless. It's only consciousness, no form one. Then the cause of rebirth is when you are able to develop the fourth formless jhana, or sometimes they call it the 7, 8, 6, 7, 8 jhana. Because the form jhana, they have four. First jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and fourth jhana. Then after that, you will be able to develop further to the formless jhana. So the formless jhana is a mind state. They call it arupa loka. So arupa loka have four, right? So the highest one is realm of neither perception nor non-perception. Then the second highest realm is the realm of nothingness. Then the third highest realm is realm of infinite consciousness. Then the fourth highest realm, is the fourth formless realm, is infinite space, the realm of infinite space. So the inhabitants of this realm are possessed entirely of mind, having no physical body, sense organ. They are unable to hear Dhamma teaching. So this is what the commentators say. But I don't think so. You remember the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta? Yeah? After the Buddha proclaimed that Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta towards the end, from the first Devarai Mahachakku Raja really rejoiced, then it go up to the next one, Tavatinsa, then Tusita, then all the way up to the formless realm. Understand not? If they cannot hear, then how can they come down? Yeah. But not important. Huh? We don't want to argue over it because it's just a subject matter. Huh? Not important. And moreover, if you do that type of meditation, you will not what they call realize Nibbana. Because that one still, the atta, the ego is there. They still believe that is the highest because they know they exist there very long. Where they are talking about, I think the highest rhyme, the neither perception nor non-perception, if I'm not wrong, is 80,000 kapas. Whole cycle. So they live very long. So to them, it's like the ultimate. That's why they taught the Buddha, the two teachers, Alara and Udaka. He said, you are now of equal to us. But the Buddha knew, despite all this, he will take birth up there. But he knew that was not the ultimate, because what he wanted to realize the answer to the four signs that he saw. Old age, sickness, and death. Then that time, he haven't break free from reality. So to him, this is not ultimate. So he continued to strive on his own. Then causes and conditions arise. He recall when he was young during the harvesting festival, I think 2-3 years old. It seems he just meditated, then he levitated. He was in the first jhana. He didn't go beyond that. So first jhana is haven't gone into strong absorption, understand not? Because the five jhanic factor, vitaka, vichara, apply thought, sustain thought. Yeah. Then piti, sukang, and what they call ekagata, one-pointedness of mind. So at that level of first jhana, you still have applied thought and sustained thought, understand? Means the thought are still there. He hasn't gone into apana or absorption meditation. So when they went into the second jhana, they relinquished the first two, vitakka vichara. Then after that, the third jhanic factor, piti, third jhana, they relinquish also. Yeah. So finally, sukang also, they relinquish. That's why they reach the fourth jhana. Then they stay at the ekagata. So this is how he came to know. Then he realized he was peaceful. He was having good food, very well taken care of, well fed. So he realized maybe that should be the middle path. Instead of torturing himself, he has given up sensual indulgence. But he went the other extreme, self-mortification, very austere type of practice. Then finally, he decided no. Then he started to eat. When he started to eat, the five ascetics that follow him thought, Sakyamuni Buddha is no longer serious about the practice. That's why they left him. Then he went on his own. He just do his thing, where he understand. Then he sort of like knew the sign was there. When suddenly one lady, Sujata, came and offered him the milk rice. Never before. And the milk rice is so nourishing. So he took. Then he felt good. Then I think he must have sent something. Then he made that vow. He said, if it's meant to be, I will be enlightened today. Show me a sign. So what did he do? He threw that offering bowl into the river. Then he saw the bowl went upstream, against the stream. Then he knew it. Oh, then he made a stand. He said, I will not arise from this seat underneath the Bodhi tree unless I realize the truth. He said, even until my, you know, sinus or blood, everything dry up, I will not arise until I realize enlightenment. So that was the determination. That's why he finally connect and become the Sammasambuddha. So all this can let us understand, you go into jhana, you went too high, it cannot actually help you free. Like I said, what is jhana? Concentration. And most of them, when they are in concentration, the defilement, the mental hindrance, they are all suppressed and so on. Especially when you go beyond the first jhana. Apply thought and sustain thought. I think it's vitaka and vichara. No more. Relinquish. So there is no more thought arising. So how can your mental hindrance arise? You can't. Where they are all suppressed. So a lot or people who lack understanding, they thought you have to be in jhana. We are in jhana, no mental hindrance. You realize or not? But the thought is not there. The mental hindrance cannot arise. So that is the way, yeah, to transcend mental hindrance. But they didn't realize there is not a free mind. You understand? Not a free mind means what? It's a conditioned mind held together by energy field. Because of focusing, concentration. They got object of meditation, their mind, one point on the held on to one point. And that one is held by the thought. Although that thought doesn't arise because you suppress it. 201 spam report reported. I don't know what this person. So never mind, forget about it. Okay. Where was I? Something about vitakka vichara. After that, no thought or suppress, isn't it? But it's not a free mind, now I recall. Because it's not a free mind, it's a conditioned mind. Conditioned mind means you focus, you concentrate, you hold it in absorption. So the mind very calm, very still, no thought. Yes, no thought, but it's not a free mind. Not a free mind means what? The mental hindrance of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, and even this restlessness and doubt cannot arise on the soul where you are in the energy field. So that's why they feel very calm. It's like they are enlightened. Yeah. So because of that, a lot of people believe that is what jhana is. That's why you must develop jhana. So in the early days, it was very popular. Everybody is talking about jhana. Yeah. I remember when I was requested to share or teach the Dhamma at Hu Ping Jing Se. I was asked this question. You dare to teach? You got jhana or not? What jhana do you have? So I just let things be. I say I don't learn jhana. I don't teach jhana. Then what do you teach? I said, awareness, daily mindfulness, according to what I understood about the teaching. That's what I teach. Then later on, I think somehow the condition fall into place. We were in one table, the wife, his wife also there, my wife also there. Then those who listen, they know. Yeah, I have clear understanding. That's why I didn't reply much. I just try to make clear. Try to make clear. But every time the direction of questioning was, we are like all prepared already. So, he said he's so senior, so he did not teach here. He said, unless you got jhana or what. Then later on, I think the wife understand now. Then before I can explain, he intervened again. So the wife said, can't you just keep quiet and listen? We are the wife new. Because the way I answer is, I don't want to be right. Or I don't want to challenge you. I just tell you, I don't do this type of meditation. I don't have jhana. Very clearly, I told you, I don't have jhana. I don't do this type of meditation. So because of that, he finally listened. Then after he listened, he started to see and understand, like the Buddha said, heedfulness and all things. Then he realized that one not jhana. That one is heedfulness. Then I say, under Noble Eightfold Path Factor, got samajhana. Then he realized, samadhi. Is samadhi jhana? Is samadhi jhana, the Buddha would have not confused people. He will use the word in samajhana. But why he didn't use the word? Why did he use samadhi? Because it's a free mind in samadhi. Samadhi is collected and unwavering, but it's not a conditioned mind. Understand? Then I think because of that, he turned down and he asked me, who is your teacher? Or who are your teacher? Then I mentioned the Thai monk, or say, even Achama Bowang, I say I read Ajahn Chah's book, then Long Po Tat, near Wat Na Long there, I think Wat Pak Ping or the Noah, there is a temple where he is, and he's very famous. Then Mahabawa also that time very famous. Then of course I say I also did read Long Po Tien book. So I did the mindfulness and all those things. Then I say my teacher I said, then after you hear this, he keep quiet already. All of that. Okay, okay. Then after that, he tell Miss Lee after the lunch. He said, Patio, Patio, what a su siong so ni kui lai teach. Luckily, resolve. Otherwise, misunderstanding a lot. So if you are not gullible, don't get yourself attracted to all this fantastic terminology. Like vipassana, you don't understand what vipassana is. And jhana, at that time was so popular. At that time, you cannot tell people awareness or not, but they don't understand what is awareness. You must say mindfulness, no? And mindfulness, hardly anybody understands. So how to teach, how to share, that's why it took a while. It took a while. So finally, after 2:04, after Yun Chan asked me to come out to share, I went through the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta as the first official Dhamma sharing session. We had earlier on a general topic, like tsunami, or at that time, you remember 2:04, December tsunami. So I started around that time. So they were very excited because I combined the Panchaniyama, with law of karma to explain why tsunami, some not supposed to die will not die. They were also there, somehow they survived. Then I remember there was a newspaper report. One baby is on a floating thing. On a mattress. Drifted out by the tsunami. Then he came back. Didn't die. The rest all hold on to the small tree, also wash away, also die. So a lot of things. Then there was one DG's MD. Oh, that guy also very, very lucky. He was a Westerner, I think. Westerner. I think Swedish or whatever. DG from which country? European country. He and his whole family was in Thailand. Then I don't know whether Phuket or where the tsunami came. He was so lucky. He managed to escape and the whole family. Then he flew back. Immediately he flew back. He announced he wanted to make donation and everything. He realized life is so fragile. Could have been him. So many perish and so many people suffer. So all these are the understanding. Okay. Then because of that, I make the topic quite interesting. Then I say, oh, this is law of karma. You're not supposed to die, you won't die. Because these are Panchaniyama that started it. What are the Panchaniyama? Nature's physical law. Physical law means what? The ocean underneath got this, what they call it the ring of fire. Tectonic plate, you know, a tectonic trail. The fault line, understand? Then the tectonic plate means they will move. Then one side move out, one side move down. Then this shift creates tsunami. The scientists, the physicists has done it. Even very small shift, in a like a very long channel. Whoa. That water that went down created that tsunami effect. Understand? Where you push it out here, then this one created. Then the wave are bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and can go very far, 1,000-2,000 kilometers, sometimes cross the Atlantic Ocean. So because of that, I say, it's nature's physical law that trigger off. But nature's physical law happened because the planet Earth, it's like an organism. When something chronic, when the consciousness is chronic, It's just like you need operation, the area chronic, you got to remove it. So the plan that you cannot just remove one hole here, one hole there, cannot. You know, the thing that make it chronic is the consciousness. So the consciousness means what? Human being, living being. So when that thing trigger means the law of karma actually need to wipe off all this consciousness, negative one. Otherwise it become chronic. That's why when you don't take care of nature, nature destroys you. And this thing is very natural. If living beings' mind, consciousness are wholesome, then very peaceful. Most of the time, this type of chronic thing won't happen. So what happens is when it triggers off, then the law of karma also comes in as well. Supposed to die will die, not supposed to die won't die. Then not supposed to fly on that plane on, you will also end up flying on that plane. Then there was one guy supposed to go on the plane, but last minute don't know what happened, he decided not to go out. So he survived. There are a lot reported in the newspaper. So understanding this makes the topic exciting. Then they are very interested. Then I think they must have discussion in chat. Hey, why not we start the Dhamma? Then I said, okay. Then I saw the five ascetic. That's why I start the tree turning. Also. But when I taught the tree turning, hardly anybody understand. They keep on asking me, hey, book you. They don't know what he said. So that was how it all started. Then I realized, this is not what they want. What they need is the essential Dhamma. The essential Dhamma also you don't understand. How can you move into the teaching? The four noble truth all those things. So you have to teach them the essential Dhamma. So like three evil roots, law of karma, right view. Then how you give rise to the advice of the Buddha and all those things. That's why you see the way I teach even at Thursday class and other classes when I started. It's always the five mental hindrance that hinders your mind. Then five spiritual faculty you need to develop. Then after that, three evil root, the law of karma, the three right view. Then from there, it spin off the five daily contemplation. Yeah. Then all of the other important Dhammapadavas, Dhammapadavas 1 and 2, your life, you decide how you want to live. Then 21, 22, 23, then 183, then the final advice of the Buddha before his parinibbana. Where I realize these are important teachings. This is what the Buddha proclaimed. So you don't look at it, you're wasting your time. You lost focus. And the Buddha himself said no. After he even realized or practiced and finished off all the jhana until 8 jhana, he still know he hasn't freed his mind. He's not enlightened yet. But people somehow become like, I don't know whether it's due to popularly accepted or what. They get attracted to jhana. It's like very difficult to get jhana. You get jhana means you're special. You are a special meditator. You are psychic, everything. You can do things that other people don't do. But they don't have the understanding that the one that free you is not all the fantastic meditation. So the energy field, the jhana, the calm state of mind, the psychic. Can this one free you? You look at the first number through. These are reality of life existence. If you confront them, can you handle? That is wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot handle. Like the Buddha realized, always sickness and death, very difficult to handle. Understand? No answer. But underneath the Bodhi tree, when he became enlightened, he saw dependent origination. He saw all the activity and movement. Then he recalled his previous cultivation and he inherited all the understanding. Then he was able to summarize all of life into just four noble truth. Then when you understand the four noble truth, you realize, yeah, these are reality of life existence. Everybody has to confront that if you live long enough. Then the cause behind suffering, he told you, craving, clinging, born of sakyadity. Sakyadity means what? You deludedly believe you exist and you are real. There's a self. Then his teaching continued. He said, when you develop heedfulness, you can insight into phenomena and awaken through the three universal characteristics. Then you realize all these are dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. Then you can grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. This is how he realized. Then he awakened. Then he's not deluded. Understand? Huh? That's why he's free. That's why the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta become a major understanding in his teaching. And of all the religions, he's the only one that taught mindfulness. I mean, at that time. The others are all concentration, so samatha. So because of that, because I have clear understanding of the whole thing, that's why I can teach in this way. You look at the teaching, 204 until now, when I decided to come out, it's still the same thing. Understand? So when you understand, you will not be gullible. Then just based on an open mind, you listen, then you will know. Based on what is even in the scripture. So all this understanding, when one develops, one will not become gullible. But I realize sometimes you cannot blame them. They are just the way they are. We are their karmic obstruction from the past. Karmic conditioning. They cannot receive this type of teaching on. You know why? Because this is what they create for themselves, the obstruction. People promote the wrong teaching, cause people to debate. So you reap what you sow. So every time you come, you learn this type of teaching. That is what it is. Then the other thing is, you don't have affinity with the true teaching is because you don't have affinity with the tripajan. You know? Means the real tripajan. What you learn, what is that type of meditation? All your teacher, your guru, all do that thing. Understand? Is that one no tripajan at all? Understand? That's why you must learn under teacher or guru that has the Dhamma. When you have, means you're part of the tripajan, understand? The Aryan Sangha, the Aryan disciples of the Buddha. So hopefully with this sharing, you can develop better understanding. Okay, I better continue, otherwise I cannot finish. What, 2:13 idea? Another 16, 17 minutes. Okay, I quickly go to one. The next one is the Rupa Loka. After Arupa, formless rhyme, we will go to the form rhyme. So this one you can read for your own understanding. There are five pure abode. They are termed the fearless devas, clear-sighted devas, beautiful deva, untroubled deva. Deva not falling away. So these are those who develop fourth jhana. But the pure abode is different. The pure abode, the five rhyme, they are anagami. Understand? Only anagami take birth there. But this anagami also have the fourth jhana. Understand? Well, if you do the jhana, you know to release it out and awaken, you can also become enlightened. But you might release out that apana samadhi, which is absorption and one point to that, to normal free mind. Yeah. Or upachara samadhi, before you enter excess consciousness, like what the Buddha did, he stayed at the first jhana. Then he developed the training and the cultivation. Then after that is, there is one rhyme which is very funny. Only body is present, no mind, but exists very long. So they call this the unconscious being. Also fourth jhana. Then the fourth jhana got one more rhyme. Very fruitful devas. Beings in this plane enjoy various degree of jhanic bliss. Then after that, they got deva of refugium, glory, deva of unbounded glory, and devas of limited. These are the third jhana. Then after that, the second jhana, they are deva of streaming radiance, deva of unbound radiance. So deva of limited radiance. So those that take rebirth in this rhyme, they are very radiant, and they all developed second jhana, up to second jhana in the past. Then the great Brahma, he is the Mahabrahma, he only do first jhana. One of these rhymes, most famous inhabitant is the great Mahabrahma. That's why a lot of Indian or Hindu, they believe Mahabrahma is the gate, the God. Because from there, he witnessed the creation down there. Excuse him. Because when the world gets destroyed, according to what the Buddha has shared, there are various stages of destruction of world cycle. The first one I remember is fire. Up to certain, I think up to before Brahma, right? Then destroyed by water. Yeah? Fire, water, then wind. Wind hit until just below the Brahma, Mahabrahma, right? Then after that, the world cycle start again. That's why the Mahabrahma up there, he said, I am not destroyed. So he thought, he understand this creation. He thought he is the great Brahma God. That's why the Hindu believe him and they worship him. So this is a little bit of background. Then after that, we have below the great Brahma, minister of Brahma, then retinue of Brahma. So these 16 stages of Brahma rhyme, they are called the form rhyme. Then below the sensual rhyme, we have the Deva rhymes, six Deva rhyme. Then after that, you have the human rhyme. Then you have the four willful state. You add them all up, it become total 31. Then you read at the course of rebirth for Devas. If you have the 10 meritorious action or wholesome, 10 meritorious action, then you have generosity. So the development of virtue and understanding or wisdom are the causes of rebirth in the Deva rhyme. And these Deva rhyme are very unique. The highest one is Deva winning power over the creation of others, means Paranimitta Vasavati Deva. So this Deva enjoys sense pleasure created by others for them. Mara, the personification of delusion and desire, also live here. That's why you take birth there, you become the Mara. You think you are powerful, you want to go and disturb cultivator, make fun, you cannot talk out. Then the other one is Deva delighting in creation. Nimana Narati Deva. So this Deva delight in the sense object of their own creation. Then the next one is Contented Deva, Dusita Heaven. This Dusita Heaven is good. A rhyme of pure delight and care. What is the meaning?
Happier.
Yeah. From the word gay. Yeah. Bodhisattva tend to live there, abide there. Because Sakyamuni, before he became Sakyamuni, he was actually in the Tusita heaven. Then he took rebirth in human rhyme. So they abide there prior to their final human birth. This is where Bodhisattva Maitreya Buddha, the next Buddha, is said to have been dwelling. Then Yama, Yama Devas. This Deva lives in the air, free of all difficulty. Then the Tavatinsa, 33 gods. Saka, King Saka, rules over it. Then the Chinese also worship him, Yok Tai Tai, the Jade Emperor. Saka, a devotee of the Buddha, recites over this line. Many Devas dwelling here live in mansions in the air. You want to build castle in the air, mansion in the air, you better aspire to become Devas. Okay, the next page is all very straightforward. Oh, there is one more. Devas of the four great king. Chatu Maharajika. Deva. These are the four heavenly rhyme. Oh, sorry. Tian, what? Su Ta Tian Wang, but in front there is what? Tian, Sumo Tian. Tian Wang Tian.
Tian Wang Tian,
the Maitreya one with the Su Ta Tian Wang. Tian Wang Tian. So this one is the first Devarani, Chatumaharajika Devan, means home of the Gandhavas, the celestial musician, the Yakas, three spirits of varying degrees of ethical purity. The latter are analogous to the Gobind, trolls, and fairies of Western fairy tales. So these are the rhyme where they call the first Deva rhyme. They are near to earth. Then there are some earthbound Devas too. Then you have the human rhyme. I say you are here for now. Rebirth as a human being is extraordinary. It is also extraordinarily precious as it is unique. As its unique balance of pleasure and pain facilitates the development of virtue and wisdom to the degree necessary to set one free from the entire cycle of rebirth. So the development of virtue and wisdom and the attainment of stream entry guarantee that all future rebirth will be in the human realm and higher realm. You understand? Once you're in Arya, you don't go down to the four-wheel state already. Then the Buddha said, maximum 7 times you come back to the human realm. Understand? Kamaloka. Or you can take birth in Deva realm too. Understand? That is the sensual Kamaloka. Then once you hit Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, they call it once returner. You only return once. Then once you hit Anagami, you don't return the essential line. You straight away go to the pure airport. Understand? So that's how it is. Then the four willful state are Asura, the demon rhymes that dwell here are engaged in relentless conflict with each other. So Asura, you know, are demons. They fight. They are born there because they got hatred, they got anger. They have the 10 unwholesome actions. Lack of virtue, hold on to a lot of hatred, envy, jealousy, all these things. Then animal means what? 10 unwholesome action, lack virtue, hold on to wrong view, and got a lot of delusion. That's why animal means delusion, behaving like an animal. This rhyme includes all of the non-human form of life that are visible to us under ordinary circumstances, like animals, insects, fish, bird, worms, etc. They call in Pali Dhirachana Yoni. The hungry ghost. This one you understand. They are the Beta, right? Ghosts and unhappy spirit wanders hopelessly about this life, searching in vain for sensual fulfillment. So those who are born here, they have a lot of greed, a lot of selfishness. That's why they always say go queer. You got nothing to eat one because you're so selfish, you try to steal, deceive, and take other. So when you're born under this life, hungry, as a ghost also hungry. Even Mongala now try to help the mother go down, use his psychic. The psychic created the food. The mother take and want to put in the mouth, it become molten, red hot, fermenting. Yeah, very hot type of thing. So cannot. Then the Buddha saw. Call this Mongalana. What are you doing? He said, I had to repay gratitude to my mother. I know she is down there. I want to help her. He said, that is not the way. Psychic cannot. These are nature's law. Then Mongalana requested Sakyamuni Buddha to advise him what to do. And that's how that type of celebration come about. He said, you make offering to all the Buddhas or the 10 directions and all those things. And he really do it. Then the Chinese tradition, I think, also follow that offering. They call it what? Chao Tu. Chao Tu. Hua Tao. So, yeah. So that one English call what? No, they make offering, transfer merit, understand? Then liberate them. Understand now? You know, after Mongolana did that, the mother strayed away from the Peta Hiranya. Come out. You know why this Peta one suffers so much? Because they got no more relative, you know, to transfer Mary and share Mary. You understand? No? Because they are actually full of the what they call greed, selfishness. Then they went down there, and very long one, you know, you in that Peta right? Like, oh, tomorrow I will read the Theravada Sutta to you. You will understand. You're there. You cannot do business, no. You cannot do agriculture, no. That's why I say no plowing, no merchandising. Not like here on the human right. You can become farmer. You can do the plowing, farming. Then you can also do business. Yeah. Then you can also like become a career person. Then got money. Oh. Down there, no career one. No. Then how? Cannot receive anything. No. They're hungry. No food, nothing. No. So what they do is, because they crave for human food, that's why they roam around existential world. That is in the Theravada Sutta. Is that if they got attachment to their house and their relative, they will come back and like try to prompt you or tell you, you better send food to me. Because they are deluded. So. Then if you don't, they create irrefueling for you and create a lot of havoc for you. Tomorrow, remind me. I will share that sutta. Then because of that, the Buddha said, as cultivator, we must have understanding, love, and compassion. Well, these people usually come and disturb you. The relative forget about them. Not sensitive to them. But they are still around. They can see you. But you cannot see them, cannot hear them. So that's why they try to like alert you. So how? The only thing they have is the eerie chill, negative energy. That's why sometimes you go to certain places, you can feel, you know, their energy very negative. Oh. You can feel one. Oh, very negative up there. And sometimes they got a lot of this anger or what. You can feel one. That the energy is very strong. Yeah. I told you the one Dharma friend, I went upstairs, I want to go to the toilet. I stopped straight away, I sense. Then I don't worry up there. I say, don't worry. I meant no harm. It's my friend. I will say, I want to use the toilet. But if you don't like, now my head will go up. Then I come down. Then the energy stops. Because he like warning me, you know. That's why you don't have mindfulness awareness. You cannot sense it. You cannot feel it. So you must have all this. Understand? So what is important is they do exist in all this realm. Then the Buddha later on in the sutta said the only way to actually help them is make offering to the Sangha or Triple Gem. Then transfer merit, share merit, just like during the Buddha's time. The King Bimbisara. You remember after he gave offering dana to the king? That night he cannot sleep. All the pitta down there, his very, very long time relative related to him, come and haunt him. So he related the story to the Buddha. Then the Buddha checked. Oh, actually, before Sakyamuni, Kāsapa Buddha time, there is already the prediction by Kāsapa. But these Peta beings, they were trapped down there for so long. No relative, you know. Why? Too long down there, you know, until the world systems being that are related to them are also no more missing. So during Mahākāsapa time, they also saw, you know, how the Sangha transformed Mary and a lot of hungry girls get good rebirth. You know. Then they say, why are they still like that? So Kāsapa Buddha, the third Buddha before Sakyamuni, out of love and compassion, tell them, I check for you. They check. Oh, you know what you did or not? There was a previous Buddha Dharma, the Sangha. People make offering to this Mahasangha. You know what they did? They misappropriate the offering. No? They steal and they misappropriate. Because of that, kena kau kau go down for so long. This one is very serious. Of all things you want to steal from the Sangha. And that one is Samasambuddha Sangha, no? Not ordinary Sangha. What is the Adana? You remember the Buddha's name or not? They can't remember. I also cannot remember. Yeah, they create that misleading reason. Say the whole kitchen was burned down, but actually they took away the offering. So what happened is Mahakasapa check. You got no more relative here, no? You have to wait very long. No? Then luckily Mahakasapa check, no? He said, yeah, you wait. You wait till Sakyamuni Buddha come. With another aeon, no? Sakyamuni Buddha come, there will be a king. King Bimisara. He is related to you all in the long distant past. He said, remember to request. Then when Sakyamuni Buddha making King Bimisara make the offering, they were full of joy waiting for him to transfer for real. But because of their karma so kalat, Bimisara was full of joy, forget about the transfer for it. Didn't so. That's why the occasion was so happy. You know? I think Sakyamuni Buddha must have also known this guy meant to be one. Because you misappropriate those sort of things, it's coming. He won't interfere one, no? So he let it be. Then they be tahan, no? So they came and haunt this Bimbisara. So he got his dream. Then they visited the Buddha, consulted. Oh, Sakyamuni Buddha check. Oh, this was your relative long time ago. Then offer another Sangha. During that time, according to the sutta, you know what happened? The moment King Bimbisara transferred Maria, idang minya tinang ho tu. Wow, his the peta relative related one by one, no, transform. No. Oh, and some become instant devas and all those things, or higher rank. Then they receive a lot of joy and all those things. So what happened is when all this was happening, the Buddha, he used his special penetration, make the King Bimisara has the eye, the heavenly eye to see. You know? Then he saw all this paper full of joy and take good birth and all those things. That's why that sutta is created for that one. So a lot of things you cannot understand, but Samasambuddha can see, you know, they can understand. So these are recorded in the Theravada teaching. Even Paramahansa also read about it. You read through Theravada or Mahayana. Because of that, the July month. The July month is actually the 15th of July that Mongalana make offering. That's why they say Chikwe Puan. They say make offering to help the departed one. But that one, actually, Chikwe Puan is Chinese tradition. That's why they modify it. You must make offering to the Sangha. That's or to charity organization and all those things. You cannot just go to the graveyard there. Bye-bye. Make all the offering. Oh, last time my relative deceased, he liked Tai Bao, he liked Cha Siu Bao. Make offering. Who eat? Nobody can eat. We are physical. But there is such thing as hungry ghosts. Wow, they all it's like their society one. No? They will rejoice one. No? Then they very happy and very howlian. No? You know what is howlian? Howlian.
Show
off. Show off. Wow, my relative come and make offering. No? Yours got come. It's just like in our society. We all are in rural area, right? Then our parents send us to KL University, yeah? Then we study. Then after that, we all got like Philippi, yeah? Hey, off and on, we go back, visit them, then we buy things, you know, then we drive nice car or the thing. So the family who have this, sure happy lah. Then the neighbor who saw all this, hey, your son got come back or not? Your daughter got come back or not? Then they ask him back, you know, Lu Wei, what doing like, bro? He go, he man out si kan. He, to kang to bu ing leo, you know, go doing like. So give reason, means he got no time. He got so much duty, what they call, the working life so like, so intense, so much to do. No time, is it? But then when you see others, deep inside, bo song, understand? Oh, why my son are there? People's children come back and visit them and like make them happy. So this chicken is one of the same, you make them happy. Then the one that didn't receive one bo song, they come and disturb you, understand? Why other people offer, you don't offer? Actually, they cannot eat, but they rejoice, understand? And that one make them good, understand? So a lot of delusion involved. So you understand all this, then you know, no point doing all those things. You want to make offering to make them happy, then you feel good. I mean, you can do lah. That is mundane level, understand? But what do? We listen to Dhamma, we share Dhamma. Every day we eat Dang Me Nyang Tinang Ho Tu. Understand? They receive that one so much better than waiting for Chigui Puan once a year offering. You understand? That's why the understanding is different. Then I always make a joke. I say, you got Kayamita, you don't worry. You go down Petarang also, no problem. Every now and then they all eat Dang Me Nyang Tinang Ho Tu. So you rejoice, so they pop, you come So, Ayanamita means you related lah, walk the path of Dhamma. It doesn't mean this life, born children or parents. No. It's so many lives, you, like the Buddha say, you have been parents and children, enemy, everything, don't know how many times already, understand? Understand? So somehow you related one another, but your relative must be Kayamita. Otherwise they don't listen to Dhamma, they don't know how to share merit, they don't know how to idang menya, tinang hotu. You down there, wait. You don't believe the Dhamma. You don't go to Dhamma class, you don't make friends with Kayamita. So you down there very long. If your heavy karma is so intense, you stay there too long until inhabitant on earth, no more, no more your relative. And then you end up like those guys down there. Wait to go to wait for sasana after sasana. So don't play a fool with karma. Okay? I heard the alarm earlier on. So we should end. Exceeded by 10 minutes. So, okay. So at least we finish. Oh, have a rhyme. I didn't finish. These are rhyme of unimaginable suffering and anguish. Should not be confused with the eternal hell found in other religion tradition, since one's time here is as it is in every rhyme, temporary. Then that's why they tell you no eternal, even in hell, right? You can still come out, but take very long. These are people who have all the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. They break all the precepts, and unwholesome action. Then they murder their parents, murder Arahana, injure the Buddha, and create Sikhism or Sangha. Means the heavy karma. That one sure straight away go down. That's why you remember Devadatta. The ground open up, so being quarrelsome and annoying to others, honestly. So this one is what it is. Then the 10 Dhamma rhyme is the Mahayana way of equivalent to the 31 plane of existence. I will explain to you after this. Okay, so you can have maybe 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Then after that, We will come back and continue a bit more. Okay, off the light. So, you all want to readjust? Sun. This session very good. Huh? Tell story. Huh? This session very good. Tell story. But a lot of Dhamma inside there. One. You know, don't play.